Jobot from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 27th of November, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Monday the 24th, Georgian Dream, or Kotsevi, supported a controversial bill to address crimes committed by young people under 14. Currently, the police have no formal system or facility like a juvenile detention center to handle these cases, meaning children under the criminal responsibility age often face no intervention. Fill this gap, Kotsevi want to create a new rehabilitation and support house, as they intend to call it. The center would be a small, allegedly family-type home and house people from 10 to 18 years old. Critics of the bill, like the Public Defender's Office, warn that this facility might become, or will in fact be, just a correctional center. They argue that isolating young people and labeling them as potential offenders could increase their psychological problems and actually raise the risk of future misconduct, calling instead for better prevention and support programs. Next up. Tuesday the 25th, Shalva Papuashvili, Speaker of the Kotsevi Parliament, publicly accused independent online media outlets of criminal conduct. He said these organizations are breaking the law by finding ways around regulations. Without providing any evidence, he said that they bring money into Georgia illegally using methods like cryptocurrency and cash in suitcases. He also called them NGO websites that ignore journalistic standards. He warned that law enforcement agencies are watching their activities and will intervene if they find that they have committed a crime. Papuashvili's comments were spread by all the many bot and troll farms, websites, social media channels, and broadcasts on radio and television that the Kotsevi supply with gigantic volumes of cash. In similar news, Georgia's Anti-Corruption Bureau launched an official inquiry targeting an independent online magazine, Indigo. Bureau requested extensive documentation from Indigo regarding every grant agreement it signed after the ruling party passed the law requiring government approval for grants. This request is similar to investigations the Bureau started against other media groups, including the Mtisambebi Project. Indigo said that it will continue its mission to support free speech despite the pressure. Meanwhile, Bidzina Ivanishvili, founder of the Kotsevi Party and also the richest person in Georgia, won the final round of a long legal battle against the global bank UBS Credit Suisse. Monday the 24th, the UK's highest appeals court, the Privy Council in London, upheld a 2022 decision that ordered the bank to pay Ivanishvili $607 million. The dispute stems from a fraudulent scheme run by Ivanishvili's former personal banker, Patrick Lescadron, who was convicted in 2018 for stealing funds from Ivanishvili's account for several years. This is the second major defeat for the bank following a 2024 ruling in Singapore. However, Ivanishvili cannot access the whole compensation payment of the bank, even after winning in court because of U.S. financial sanctions imposed December 2024. On Saturday the 22nd, the court sentenced protester Vano Skhirtladze to 8 days in jail for squeezing a squeaky toy rooster near police officers' faces. The Interior Ministry says he meant to insult police officers. A police witness told the court they felt genuinely offended by the cynical and ironic use of the toy so close to their faces. Skhirtladze said that what he did was not an insult, but in fact, performance art, an experiment meant to test the officer's composure. He said some of them passed the test, but some did laugh. Check out Skhirtladze's performance in the show notes. Some unusual news regarding the police. Buckwoods International School had a bit of a controversy this week after demonstrators shared a video of officers arriving at a pro-European demonstration, busted up with a minibus clearly marked with the school's logo. Private school, which is a branch of the UK's Buckwood School, quickly issued a statement to clarify the situation, saying the minibus was not theirs and the driver was not their employee. They explained that a third-party transport company handles a small part of the student services and that the school had absolutely no role in organizing transport for the police. In an interview with Radio Free Europe given on Tuesday the 25th, German Ambassador Peter Fischer commented on Georgian-EU relations following the European Commission's expansion report released on the 4th of November. Fischer called the report catastrophic for Georgians who want EU membership. The ambassador stressed that Germany fully agrees with the report's conclusion that under its current policy, Georgia has strayed from the path towards the EU. He warned that Germany and other EU members are now pausing work on Georgia's membership bid because of the actions taken by the Georgian side, including the destruction of the NGO sector, violations of demonstrators' rights, suppression of political parties, and sustained pressure on free media. German ambassador was not the only one talking about Georgia this week. In a separate interview, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte told Radio Free Europe that he's not naive about the political situation in Georgia and that the events there seriously worry the alliance. Rutte said that NATO has clearly communicated its concerns to Georgian officials. He said the existing cooperation between NATO and Georgia serves to maintain an open channel for the alliance to express dissatisfaction. On another note, on Wednesday the 26th, the court sentenced Nika Melia, leader of the Coalition for Change, or Tabis Plebiscite's party, to 1 year and 6 months for splashing water at a judge. He's already serving time along with three other leaders of the party for refusing summons to parliament investigative committee, which was formed to investigate what they pretended were political crimes of the previous administration. The water splashing incident happened during the first court hearing where police brought Melia after a special operation to arrest him. On Monday the 24th, Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze met with Pope Leo XIV at the Vatican. Prime Minister's press office says Kobakhidze congratulated the Pope on his election and expressed hope that the visit would help strengthen relations between Georgia and the Holy See. Kobakhidze thanked the Pope for the Vatican's ongoing support for Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity since the restoration of its independence. They also discussed current events in Georgia and global challenges concerning the defense of Christian and traditional values. In the end, Kobakhidze extended an invitation to the Pope to visit Georgia. He invited the pontiff to celebrate the upcoming 1,700-year anniversary of Georgia's conversion to Christianity. Starting in 2026, Georgia will introduce an official state language exam for non-Georgian speakers who need to demonstrate their language proficiency. Monday the 24th, Givi Mikanadze, the education minister, announced the news and said that this certification is especially important for foreign students who want to study in Georgia, foreigners seeking public service jobs, and those working in the business sector. State language exam will be held multiple times a year and test four skills: listening, reading, writing, and speaking. Initially, two different tests will be offered covering beginning levels A1 through B2. The ministry plans to expand the test to include advanced C1 and C2 levels starting in 2030. There are many reasons for this exam, but the main one is to prevent foreign students from studying in Georgia to further isolate Georgia from the world. Finishing off this edition with some cultural news, the 26th Tbilisi International Film Festival, which runs from the 1st to the 7th of December, announced its program. Festival opens at the Amidani Cinema with Pietro Marcello's film Duce, and will screen about 40 international films and 30 Georgian films. This year, the festival honors Swiss filmmaker Nikola Vadimov with the Prometheus Lifetime Achievement Award. Jury will select the best Georgian film in four categories, and the European Union will sponsor an award for the best depiction of human rights in Georgian cinema. Festival organizers say the state structures canceled their funding, forcing them to host a smaller festival this year. They believe that the funding cut is political because the government opposes the festival's strong independent platform promoting human rights and freedom of expression. Organizers also use the platform to demand the release of prisoners of conscience. Check out the festival's program with the link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget that our new very cool t-shirts are out. Set up your personal collection and we'll give you a discount code for your friends, but it gets better. Person who sells the most t-shirts with their discount code will get a free trip to Lisbon in early April. Check the link in the show notes.